Dad, you know how you were saying I need to do more, be more, the whole fast fiber thing?
Yes.
Anyways, I saw that Vox is offering free standard installation and activation to the value of 3,000 rand.
That is a good deal.
With the money you save, I can buy some new skins for Fortnite. Talk about money in the bank.
With free activation to the value of 3,000 rand. Live smart. Hack life. Level up with Vox Fiber. Visit vox.co.za. T's and C's apply.
I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Bryanston in Johannesburg today for what I know is going to be a very interesting discussion about the licensing of a new free-to-air television provider in South Africa called Kwese Free TV. I'm joined by Zolile Ntukwana, Group Executive for Regulatory Affairs at Econet Media, one of the shareholders in Kwese Free TV, to discuss their launch plans. Zolile, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we chatted last week at ICASA in Pretoria, in Centurion actually, upon the licensing announcement.
Yeah.
You're a 20% shareholder in the new venture. The other shareholders are Royal Bafokeng and Mossong Capital. Mm. The 20% stake seems small, but you're restricted, I think, under the Electronic Communications Act from earning more than that. Is that right?
No, that's correct. Yeah. So in terms of the ICASA and the ECA Acts, you know, the licensed entities or entities to be licensed for broadcasting services in South Africa can only have a maximum of 20% shareholding by a shareholding that is held by foreign entities or individuals.
Mm.
So that 20% is it comes from there.
Yeah,
yeah.
The media landscape has obviously changed enormously over the years since the Electronic Communications Act was first gazetted. do you think that 20% limitation makes sense in this day and age?
We've got no way of challenging that. I mean, that's the imperative that the country has identified, that to promote local ownership of entities, particularly entities that will be active in key industries like broadcasting.
Mm.
They try and minimize influence by foreign entities.
Mm.
On as to whether as a business does it make sense, I think each business makes a decision based on the fact that it knows that it's going to have a 20% shareholding and not more than that. I don't think it's something that one can challenge as unreasonable or unfair. It's aligned to all the broad-based economic empowerment requirements of the country.
The other shareholders, what are their stakes?
The other shareholders, Royal Bafokeng Metics holds 45%, so it's the biggest shareholder in the entity.
What is Metics?
It's a vehicle that they created to invest specifically into this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's 100% owned by Royal Bafokeng Holdings.
Why Metics? What does that mean?
I have no idea. I have no idea. They just that's the vehicle and the name they gave us when we're discussing it as a consortium. The other partner is Mossong Capital, which holds 35%.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can imagine, I mean, the entity is 80% held by, it's 100% held by black shareholders, but 80% South African black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you're a 20% shareholder, but you're obviously going to bring a lot to the party here because Econet Media has a lot of experience in media in the rest of the continent. And of course, the company launched the Kwese Play streaming service in South Africa. I think it was last year, or was it the year before last?
Yes.
Just talk about the Econet Media Group, what it looks like, where you operate, and what sort of broadcasting services you offer.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out, Duncan, that Kwese Free TV that we're talking about here is a South African entity, and it's separate. It's not part of the Econet stable.
Sure.
It is a separate entity whose shareholding, like we've just said, is held by Royal Bafokeng Metics, Mossong Capital, and 20% by Econet Media. Econet Media, obviously, active on the African continent, and it's been providing direct-to-home satellite television service. It's been providing Kwese Free Sports, which is a sports channel, broadcasting sports 24 hours across different markets. And Kwese Play is more based on a set-top box. So it's services that we can access through a set-top box, a Roku set-top box, to access app-based broadcasting services. So people subscribe to it and so forth. So those are the services we've been providing elsewhere as Econet Media, which is part of the Econet group. But that is not part of this Kwese Free TV, you know, offering that we have in South Africa. That's a separate entity held by a number of other shareholders as well.
But Econet Media, I presume, will be bringing expertise.
Yes, precisely. Expertise as in like broadcasting expertise, content negotiation, content supply, you know, expertise, and some content that we already have as Econet Media, which will be made available to the entity. But that's all subject to, and it's provided for in the shareholders' agreement, that these are some of the things that Econet Media, as a partner, will be contributing to to this service.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've been granted 55% of what is called Digital Mux 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a chunk of radio frequency spectrum.
Yes.
But there's a hitch. It's currently occupied, right, by analog broadcasters.
Yeah.
And you need the digital migration project to happen before you can start broadcasting.
Yeah.
How hopeful are you of getting on air sooner rather than later, given the endless delays we've seen in South Africa's migration project?
Look, again, we think this is not just a one-sided challenge. It's a challenge that a number of stakeholders in the process are dealing with. So we still have, although the decision to award us a license has been made, we have not been given the license document itself. We still have to have a conversation with ICASA on that in terms of the license terms and conditions. And part of the discussions will include this issue of the digital migration process and how far it will, how far, because I'm sure ICASA has got much more access to government planning processes as well as CENTEC processes that would indicate how long it would take for this thing to be resolved. As an applicant, as Kwese Free TV, when we were making submissions to ICASA, we advised that because we do have a Kwese Free Sports channel that is already active, and if you may have seen it on the OVHD package that is the on the ETV platform. That's the channel that we may be able to start with if things permit, if all of those things are finalized. But it's not in our hands. It's something that a number of other stakeholders, we still have to have conversations with CENTEC to understand when and how can we access that and how soon can it be.
So there might be some spectrum available before migration is completed that you could possibly use to launch the sports channel.
That's what we'll hear from ICASA. We need to have a conversation with ICASA on that. Those aspects have not been communicated to us at the moment. But you would recall when they announced the decision last week, Monday, they indicated that they will have a conversation with the winning entity to determine these things going forward.
I know some of the existing licensees in South Africa have actually been broadcasting digital for some time now.
Yeah.
They call it dual illumination, I think, where both analog and digital are being broadcast at the same time. And if you get a set-top box today, you can actually pick up some digital test broadcasts.
Or even digital television sets,
yes.
Smart TVs. Mm. So some can pick it up from there. So all of those things are things we'll better understand how ready they are as service providers that can allow us to do that. But yes, from our side, from pushing the content that we'll be pushing through will be based on digital, will be digitally ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about this HD. It's an HD sports channel, right?
Yes.
That's your planning.
Yeah.
But what other channels are you planning to offer beyond that in time? Once everything is, you know, you've got the license, once the spectrum has been cleaned up, what are some of the channels you're planning to offer?
Look, in terms of the application, and this is public information. We indicated that we will use the Max to provide five channels. So one being the sports channel, 24-hour sports channel. The other four are more general entertainment channels, which are much more thematic, focusing on themes. As you know, so the one would be focusing on adventure, you know, adrenaline-driven type of programming or content. The other one will be focusing on, you know, human stories and storytelling, so which is more along the lines of your documentaries and you know, information-based kind of content. And then there'll be a channel that focuses on lifestyle, kids TV content, youth content. And then there's one that will focus also on just largely technology issues, looking at business technology, cars, and technological developments. And that I think that would be in line with what the fourth industrial revolution that everybody's talking about will be based. So we decided, and the names of these channels will change. We did have some that we suggested, but we think we may still have to revise those. But the other four will be predominantly general entertainment channels, with focusing on certain themes. Now we were our research that we submitted to ICASA had indicated that the news and current affairs is something that the viewers already have sufficient of in terms of what is available in the market. But we were urged by the panel to consider including news content and current affairs content. So that's one of the things that we'll be looking at to slot them into the four other channels. The sports channel will be carrying sports-related news. Mm. But the other...
It's interesting on news, because the other licensees in their licenses are actually required to carry news, aren't they?
Is it, Duncan, I think you mean the current licensees?
ETV, SABC.
Precisely, yes. And I think that is the premise from which the ICASA panel was moving from, when they were saying to us, although your research says news is not something that... it's not something that the consumers would be looking forward to because there's sufficient of it. Mm. This is a free-to-air license.
Yeah.
Therefore, you'll be having a free-to-air broadcasting service. And they urged us to look into news and current affairs.
But they haven't required you to do it.
I think it is a requirement.
It is a requirement.
Okay. Because what then happened, they asked us, or we had that conversation with them on the 23rd of November during the hearing. And then subsequently, 7 days thereafter, they required us to come back to them and indicate to them whether we will be willing to carry news and current affairs. And so we came back and we revisited our thinking. Although the research doesn't point to news and current affairs, we decided that we will do it. So there are part of the arrangements as we prepare for these channels will be those.
Because a news offering isn't cheap, is it?
It's not. That was our issue as well. Mm. That it's something that requires it's cash intensive, and it requires you know, a concerted effort and a lot of resources to because it has to be fresh. It has to be refreshed regularly.
It still makes sense for you to go ahead even with the news requirement?
Well, it does. Yeah. It does. I mean, the good thing is that it was not, the requirement was not you must have a news channel. The requirement was must have bulletin. News content. Mm-hmm. So news content can be bulletins, current affairs programs, but
Mm-hmm. What about local content? Are there any stipulations in the license around that?
Well, we haven't seen the license yet, but I can guarantee you there will be. I mean, that's legislated. I mean, there are regulations that deal with the local content requirements. So what we've said is that across the all the channels, you know, we'll have a staggered approach. But by the second year of broadcasting, will be 50% of our content will be local content across the channel. So we'll be complying with the...
Yeah.
It's not just a question of complying, Duncan. And now I'm going to say this as an Econet media person, that even in the markets where we've been, we've realized that it's quite clear that local content is actually key. In many instances, the consumption of broadcasting services is driven by local content first. Consumers then... you know, want to see international stuff, but they want to see themselves. They want to see a reflection of their own society and circumstances in your programming. Mm-hmm. So we know fully well what...
So it's not just a licensing requirement. No, it's something you have to do.
It's actually a good, you know, business kind of strategy, if I may call it, to have good local content. Mm-hmm.
You've obviously done your modelling of the market. We know the SABC is in dire financial straits for various reasons. We know that ETV is also having a difficult time. Is the market really big enough to, especially in the current economic environment, to sustain another player?
The market is big enough in our view and from what we've seen in our research, because we conducted research. I mean, the one good thing about the ICASA licensing process is that one of the biggest requirements in the invitation to apply is that you must submit research which supports your offering. So you can't come and say, I'll be offering music, when research says you must be offering news. So your business plan and whatever you promise on the table that you will do must be informed by research you have conducted. Mm-hmm. Now, the research we have conducted suggests to us that there's space. Yes, the advertising cake is being spread differently now. I mean, there are disruptions, there's social media advertising, there's a whole lot of other things. So it's not just a question of broadcasting is doing well or not doing well because of the way the advertising cake is divided. There are other things to be examined. So our research shows that. But one of the important things as well to mention here is that, you know, we mentioned it earlier, content is quite key. You know, the content that you bring to the market or to consumers really makes a difference. I don't want to go into details in terms of what is happening in the South African market space currently, but you can clearly tell where in instances where focus is on, again, giving good local content, you know, topped up with international content, that you'll find that you actually get viewers that would be prepared to watch the service.
What's interesting is you're coming into this market as the media industry in South Africa is fracturing in a way. We've got a dominant pay TV player in MultiChoice that has signed up, been very successful in signing up customers.
Low-level tier customers.
Yeah, they're compact and lower bouquets have become very popular. Streaming is obviously having an impact at the higher end of the market with services like Showmax and Netflix, and of course they're free to air, if I can term it that, streaming services like YouTube and many others. So the market is fracturing. Who do you see as being Kwese Free TV's ultimate target market?
It's the entire public. This is a free-to-air license, and this is where ICASA was coming from when they were saying, your offering must have news. You need to consider having news and current affairs, because that's where that's what they expect the offering to cover, or rather the market to cover that market. So we see it as that way. So the very things that you've mentioned, or rather the options, your Netflixes and your lower bouquets on the other service providers, all of those are driven by content. Yeah. People decide that I am going to take up that subscription because I want to access this content.
Yeah.
If they were able to get that content for free or access it for free, they would not go for subscription. It's that much I can tell you. So the issue is more about what type of exciting content do you have on your platform that draws us to you? You know, and that's really what our focus will be. Our focus will be bring premium content to a free-to-air service that will make people really want to watch it.
Will you continue to partner with OpenView and have your channels on there as well?
Those discussions haven't taken place yet. I mean, as you can appreciate, the license was issued a week ago.
Sure.
So a whole lot of the other things that are affected by that decision have not been ventilated in various ways. So no discussions have been held with the Open View guys. No discussions have been held with any other platform in terms of because we keep being asked this question that are we going to be willing to offer, you know, the channels to other people that may want to carry them on their platform. The shareholders will decide those things.
Yes.
The business will decide what makes sense to it.
Because we've got this interesting review going on now by ICASA of the so-called must-carry regulations.
We know
the SABC is very unhappy about the fact that DSTV and other pay TV broadcasters get to carry their public service channels
for free. The issue is just the issue of carrying them, or rather the SABC having to provide those channels to other platforms for free. They don't have a problem with providing those channels if they are paid for it, in the same way as, you know, ETV is paid by DSTV for the ENCA channel. So I think that's what the SABC is looking at. So we quite understand where they are coming from. They're coming from a revenue loss perspective, that they are losing money by, they spend money creating this content and doing all of this for the public, but where they now have to have an opportunity to make money by selling it to somebody, the regulations don't allow them to.
Those must-carry regulations, if they're not changed, would they affect Kwese Free TV in any way?
My understanding is that they relate to public broadcasting. The issue of fees being payable relate to a public broadcaster, not necessarily just a free-to-air broadcaster.
So you would enter into commercial negotiation with a MultiChoice, for example,
if it makes potentially? Sense, if it makes sense, I'm sure the shareholders would consider it, because it would be making business sense. If it doesn't, again, that decision will be made.
Let's come back quickly to the sports channel that you're planning to launch. What can viewers expect there? What rights do you have, and are you planning to participate in bidding for sports rights for that channel?
Well, we always do. I mean, sports rights are you have to bid for them everywhere in the world, not only in South Africa. So we will have to enter into the bidding processes for, you know, the PSL rights, the SA Rugby rights, all of those. Currently, what we have is because Kwese Free TV is a South African entity. So it never had any rights that it had for, but the rights that Econet Media held in other markets are the rights that are the rights that inform the sports programs that you find on the KFS channel that is on OVHD. So just to clarify, so that people don't say this KFS channel doesn't have local content or local sports, it's purely because there has never been a license in South Africa that would enable those kinds of rights to be negotiated. Internationally, there's an English Premier League package that Econet Media Limited has, and that it has been sub-licensing throughout the continent. Some of the English Premier League soccer matches you see on SABC once a week have been sub-licensed by Econet Media Limited to the SABC. So the same kind of arrangement would apply with sub-licensing it to Kwese Free TV. But what is important for me, Duncan, is to highlight the fact that, you know, these rights are negotiated periodically.
Sure.
So you negotiate for the rights and you get 3 years of the rights for the next 3 seasons or something like that. And then when they're up, you go in again, you negotiate for the next lot. It's the same with your FIFA World Cup and the other international sporting codes. So at the moment, there are discussions that are taking place, which I'm not at liberty to divulge. But safe to say, we are confident that a 24-hour sports channel will be sustainable.
Yeah.
Because that is how KFS has been you know, designed by Econet Media Limited.
We've increasingly seen sports rights worldwide going to the pay TV operators, and I don't think it's been any exception here in South Africa. Do you think that a free-to-air sports offering like yours, the one you're planning to launch here on Kwese Free TV, is more likely to focus on the lesser-known sporting codes, whereas the big sporting codes like cricket, rugby and soccer are more likely to stay paid for offerings?
I don't think so. I'm sure you know that there's a process that a process that ICASA has embarked upon of revisiting the regulations regarding or that deal with sports broadcasting of sporting events.
Yes,
and the very issues they are raising are going to be dealt with there. We've made a submission ourselves in that regard. But I think what is important is that whichever way it happens, the rights holders determine who they want to sell to and how much they want to sell. So for an example, in Europe, if you look at the English Premier League, they've got a package for free-to-air broadcasters, they've got a package for pay TV broadcasters. So as Kwese Free TV is a free-to-air entity, it will be bidding for free-to-air packages. Some rights holders may have a bias towards, you know, giving a bigger chunk of their sporting codes or rights for their sporting codes to pay TV, because for them, it is a guaranteed source of income that we are selling you these rights, you give us so much for this period, as opposed to, you know, a free-to-air player who will rely on, you know, advertising to make more money to be able to pay. A paid TV subscriber has got already, you know, guaranteed income that they can be able to use to buy this. So it depends on a number of factors. It's not just one issue that a paid TV broadcaster wants to get it and they get it. I'll give you the International Olympic Committee, for an example. Their bias in terms of the rights is towards free-to-air broadcasters, because their philosophy is that they want Olympics to be viewed by everyone, you know, regardless of whether you've got a pay TV or subscription service or not. FIFA has got a hybrid system where some chunk of matches as part of the tournament are made available to free-to-air and then the rest to pay TV. So there's no one way of doing it. But back to your question, we think that if the public or if the viewers can access premium sporting content free-to-air, they will go for it.
So the message then is you guys are going to be participating in sports bidding rights, and it doesn't matter what the sporting code is. If it's going to bring an audience, you're interested.
Well, yes, and also the regulations, the ICASA draft regulations that I'm talking about, they do have a section that is looking at promoting, you know, the lesser popular sports. But those ones, it's looking at them purely from a perspective of, because some of them, as much as they may be less popular, but you do find that in the Olympics they are represented, or there are country representatives participating in those sporting codes at the Olympics at national level. So they are looking, there's a section in those draft regulations that is looking at promoting it from that perspective. We're looking forward to participating in that process because we think it will reshape the way local sporting rights are allocated.
I think it's going to be a big bun fight, isn't it?
We do expect it to be. Honest, whether we'll be part of the fight, it's something else. But from what it appears like, there's a whole lot of interest.
I'm sure. Lots of vested interests.
From a number of stakeholders. Yes.
So ICASA has given you 24 months to launch, and you can then get an extension of that for another 24 months if necessary. Assuming the digital migration had already happened, how quickly could you get on air from today?
If it had already happened, we could easily with the sports channel start. But and then the other general entertainment channels would come in a staggered way, because you also don't want to just put up some flimsy offering on air simply because you can. There's a whole lot of work that goes into that. Content must be bought. Movies and all of these other things that I was mentioning, including local content, still must be commissioned and all of those things. So from a timing perspective, it would be difficult to say, Duncan, but what we would certainly be able to do would be to start with the sports channel and then phase in the others. It's not existing in our minds that we foresee ourselves asking for an extension of that 2-year period. We think it's a bit unfair to the viewer as well.
It must make your planning a little bit difficult, though, not having a firm date on this digital migration.
It does. On the other hand, it's not like we're not blaming anybody. Yeah. We're simply saying if it can move, let's make sure that it moves. But it does have an impact on the ability to commence.
Before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about what this means for consumers. Are you going to be putting your own terrestrial set-top box into the market? I know you can buy DVB-T2 receivers in some supermarkets now. Will those boxes be sufficient for picking up your service, or are you going to need a special set-top box?
We don't think we'll need a special set-top box. We haven't looked at those things yet, because the technical issues have to be decided not only by ourselves, but in conjunction with Centec, who will be doing our transmission. And so those kinds of decisions will be made. They're not far off from being made, but there are processes to look into them. There are processes that the shareholders will be putting in place to look into various options of doing this thing in the most efficient way, but in the manner that would reach the wider viewers. You see, the other important thing to note is that the max that is operated by Sentec, it also covers some parts, and some parts of the country will still be covered at a later stage.
I see.
They're still rolling out. Mm-hmm. Yes. So all of those things impact on how do you do it? How do you roll it out? But our intention is not to increase the cost of receiving the service.
Yes.
For the consumer.
What are the advantages and disadvantages of launching your own set-top box?
I would be lying if I say I've looked at that. Okay. We haven't.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So the coverage area for the MUX 3 spectrum that you've been awarded, is it mainly limited to the main urban areas at the moment?
No. It's for example, I think from the maps that I saw from Sentec, the Gauteng province is covered completely, even the areas that you'd look at as semi urban areas. Some parts of the Limpopo province are covered. Some parts of the Mpumalanga province are covered. But yes, I think the areas are predominantly in the urban areas first. Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, East London, Port Elizabeth, Bloemfontein, towns like. But I think they're rolling it out as we speak. And the map that we have is according to the coverage they could inform us or tell us about last year. Mm-hmm. So it's probably expanded. Again, those conversations will indicate.
But you're in the main population centres.
Yes,
you're
precisely.
in the areas where I suppose relatively wealthier populations live, which is the market you'd want to target for advertising.
Yeah, precisely.
Okay. Zolile Ntukwana is Group Executive for Regulatory Affairs at Econet Media and also spokesman for Kwese Free TV. Best of luck with the launch, and thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks very much. Much appreciated.